In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our text is from Psalm 143, which we just confessed earlier. We'll also be looking at the Catechism. The psalmist writes, "The enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground." That is how Satan works, my friends. Satan follows after the Christian and hounds him until the day he dies. Satan's one and only goal is to get you to deny Christ and his word of forgiveness. How does he do this? His greatest weapon of war is the lie. Satan lies and deceives the Christian into believing that you don't sin. Or he deceives you into believing that your sin isn't that bad, but you really don't need Jesus for that sin or his word of forgiveness. That's why we as Christians pray the penitential psalms, including Psalm 143. They teach us who we are as sinners, teach us to cling to Christ alone, and his word of forgiveness. And so the Psalms teach us what the Christian life is all about. They teach us about sin and forgiveness. In other words, we might also say, with Luther, that the Psalms are a little Bible that teach us everything that we need to know, to believe in both Jesus and thus going to heaven. But notice what the Psalms teach us to confess about our sins. As we said from the Catechism, consider your place in life according to the Ten Commandments. Are you father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker? Have you been disobedient, unfaithful, or lazy? Have you been hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you hurt someone by your words or deeds? Have you stolen, been negligent, wasted anything, or done any harm? Notice that Luther would have us confess our sins in an ordinary way. He didn't list murder, didn't speak of grand theft auto or adultery or even rebellion. The sins that we confess are those that are part of our daily life. And notice where they start. Who are you? Father, mother, son, daughter, husband, wife, or worker. Each of you has a calling, more than one calling likely, that has been given to you by God. It's where God has placed you. This is where God has given you to live and to work. And it is in that calling and that vocation that we need to hear God's law and gospel, his accusation and his absolution. Who among us has not been unfaithful or lazy, hot-tempered, rude, or quarrelsome? Have you picked a verbal fight with a coworker or friend because you just didn't get your way? Have you hurt others by your words or deeds? Have you stolen from your employer by not working as you should? Or have you wasted the gifts that God has given you? Have you even, as Malachi would say, stolen from God by not giving to the church? These are ordinary sins, and they're real sins. But to the eyes of the world, they're not all that big. They're just little trifles, nothing to be so concerned about. Yet it is these very trifles of God that he died on the cross to forgive. And if God takes them that seriously, that he would die for them, perhaps we should too as well. And that's why he gives us confession and absolution. God wants these sins to be gone from your life forever. He wants to cast them into the depth of the sea so that you would arise a new son or daughter in the forgiveness of Jesus' name. This Lenten time, we've taken a journey through the penitential psalms, especially remarking about God's gift of forgiveness. And the problem with confession is that it's easy for us to focus just on the sins or on the act of confessing. Some of you have partaken of God's gift of individual confession and absolution after the service. And for those of you who have done this, I'm sure you'll all say that it's hard to confess. The words don't come out right. It's embarrassing. Or perhaps you haven't taken advantage of it because it seems like it's much ado about nothing. I mean, who really cares about how I treat my family or what I did at work or whatever that little trifle sin might be? But that's the whole point. God cares. He cares so much about those sins, cares so much about forgiving them, that he sent his son over to death so that you might live. Those sins don't just accuse you, but left without Christ, they condemn you to hell. When Jesus, though, said, "It is finished," from the cross, he was talking about your sin. Yes, he was talking about that time you were angry with your wife. It is finished. He's talking about the time you nagged your husband and wouldn't give him any rest. It is finished. He's talking about the time you gave your parents the silent treatment and rebelled against their wishes. It is finished. He's talking about the time you refused to do what your boss asked you to do at work. It's finished. Of course, all these sins and more. We've learned a lot about God's gift of confession and absolution this Lent. And I know that this has been a new journey for many. Maybe you haven't heard so much about it before. And perhaps it's been at times strange. It can be a hard journey to confess, to say to God what is true about our nature and our deeds, even our thoughts. But it's also been a wonderful journey. For God has had so many things to teach you and to give you that he can hardly wait for you to keep hearing his word and being reconciled by his love. He longs to hear you say with David from verse 10, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me." Be led by the Spirit. Flee to God's word of forgiveness. Cry out with the psalmist, "My soul thirsts for you like a parched land." In a land and a time when sin now is often ignored, sometimes even held up as good, flee instead to God's word. It is true, according to his word, your sins are worthy of death. But according to his word, he will forgive you for the sake of Jesus Christ, his son. We rightly fear God's wrath, but we also hope. We hope in Christ. We trust in him. That is our life as children of God, a life of forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, amen.